Okay, so we are continuing in Bizayon. We are on page, we are on page 255. Well, as I said, we'll finish Bizayon today, and we'll start the next topic of Bein, sons. The learning today should be is Chosli Lenishmas Adir Chav Rechaim Elazar Ben Shem Shenariyeh and Rabbi Yaakov Yosef and Rechaim Menachem Ben Sion, as well as the Chos for Fur Shleimer for Chaim Moshe Yeshua Ben Malkol Chaimda Ben Menorachol Chanalei Bashen Dorachol Abadati Ben Peril and Rifala from the Sanal Ben Mashaliba. As well as the schuss for all those in Amakam Sakana and Eretz Yisrael, including Azriel Baruch Ben Penina and Aniyah Shlomo Ben Rostaka. So we are going to finish off the topic of Bizayon. We said basically that the idea of a person embarrassing others, disgracing others, berating others is especially bad to a stranger, but certainly to people that you're mechuyev to show kavod to. And he says, "V'tzeil l'mad ad heichan gedem min Bizayon." He says, "Now I want to teach you a lesson of how far Bizayon goes." Remember, we had the lesson of Moshe didn't want to hit the yam or the dirt, even though it was an inanimate object, because again, there was a certain level of hakar satov you had to show, even though they weren't alive. So he says, similarly, he's going to bring an example from something that's inanimate. He says, you want to see how far Bizayon goes? Sharik Siv, the pasuk says, "V'lo yisale b'malis ha-mizbechi," that on the Mizbech there's not allowed to be steps, asher so that you won't reveal your nakedness. Now, the idea is that if there are steps, then every time you take a step, the ksoines that the kaihanim are wearing is going to be lifted a little bit. And remember, the kaihanim, Tzvi, I hate to tell you this, but you're not going to be wearing boxer briefs. You're going to simply be wearing a ksoines and mechnasayim pants, and that's it. If you wear boxer briefs underneath, it's going to be a no-go. So what's going to happen is nothing changes. Very good. Sorry, disturbing thoughts. Let me clear my head. Okay. When you take a step, if you're going to lift up and the sinus is going to, you know, for a second be lifted a little bit up the leg, so that's revealing and that's potentially embarrassing. But embarrassing to who? Not to the kehanim. We're saying to the mizbeach. Don't show your nakedness to the Mizbeach. Now, what's the Torah concerned with in the Pasuk? The Avanim of the Mizbeach. Even the Avanim shouldn't be exposed to Tzvi Katz. So certainly, which don't see and aren't bothered, and it's inanimate. Nothing happens. Yet, the Pasuk made sure that none of the leg would be exposed. So going back to all the examples from yesterday, the Talmid Chachamim, your Rebbe, your father, your mother, people you're mechuyev to show respect to, alachas kama v'kama, you have to be so careful not to induce any sort of bizoyin. Shloi leishay b'fanav. Now he gives it another example, something he didn't talk about before. Shloi leishay b'fanav shloi b'derech hakavod. You're not allowed to sit even in an undignified manner. So, for example, you shouldn't be reclining in front of your father unless you get permission. So, if there's a recliner in the room and your father's sitting on the couch, you should not be reclining back. You should ask permission. And he says, "What about Pesach night by the Seder?" So he says, "V'yadua," and it's well known, "Shabedoichak," that it was only out of necessity. He tiru labein lahase b'fnei aved b'lel Pesach, that there was a heter given to a son to recline in the presence of a father. Ubifnei rabbi, or in presence of his rebbe, and a rashi lasa filo b'lel Pesach. He says, even on Pesach night, you're not allowed to. So you should not be going to your rebbe's house l'el Pesach. If you do, you are not going to be able to do heseba. B'yadua oisen ma'aser shekiru bar. Now, in those days, I will add one caveat, which is you have to ask your LOR, because in the olden times, times of the Gemara, the way they ate was reclining. And it could be nowadays, the halacha is a little different, based on the way that we eat. So we'll have to, we don't actually recline, like fully recline. So I don't know, you'd have to ask the Rav. He says basically that there was a well-known story, that there was someone that acted with Azus, and he acted arrogantly, and he basically did not have the midos of a Yid. He had Azus, he was an Achzar, he was cruel. And so they said, a person who acts in that manner, they recognized he's either a Mamzer or his mother, or his father was Baal, his mother, while she was in either or both. And they understood, because of the way he acted, what his yichus was. He didn't act properly towards his rabbi. Now, here's the conclusion. A wise person should hear and tremble. And be extremely careful with the honor of everybody. And certainly, someone who has mechuyev to show respect to. Then the pasuk says regarding him that the wise will inherit honor. He's going to get further in this topic in those later topics. Says in this, a lot of topics are interconnected. So he has chaf kavod. He has in Mem Myra, and they're interrelated to this topic. So that ends the topic of Bizayim. We now move to Bain, son. Now, the only intro I will give to you about Bain is that in the Pelioz, the version we have, Bain takes up 4 pages, and Bas takes up 13 pages. V'hamei ben Yavin, and we'll see. So with that introduction, let's go to Bain. So he says like this, Bain, and this actually is a lead-in from Bizayim, because we're talking about respect. He says, "Bein yichabid av ve'im kasher kasavnu." A son has to honor his father and mother, as we just said. V'nichtav oid mizeh, and he says, "We'll discuss this point further." Ach ata, but now, when he gets to kibud av ve'im, ach ata basi lechla lekol bekitzer. He says, "I want to just summarize it." Ve'im medrash b'le chiddush. There is never a discussion of Torah without some sort of chiddush. Ve'hu, and it is ki yesh mitzvah av alabein lesnagimo al pishanav lefimi doitzel v'idaita shalben. He says basically that the chiyuvim that a father has, we know there are a certain chiyuvim that a father has, teach his son an umnis, to teach his son Torah, to get his son married, to teach him how to swim, different things that a father has a chiyuv on a son. So the way that you teach your child, and I guess the way that you find the shidduch for your child, should not be cookie cut. It should be tailored to the child. Well, if it's tzarich shah, and depending on the time, so it depends on the understanding of the child, the temperament of the child, where the child's holding, and it also depends on the circumstances at that time. In Bakashais, whether you have to do it with force, in Barakais, or whether you use a softer tone. Chiyuva Ramya al Ha'av l'chalka devar b'mishpat. Says the obligation rests with the father to do it with mishpat. What does that mean with mishpat? Basically, in a just and proper way. In such a way that the son will do good and not sin, meaning that it's actually going to have the desired effect. So when you're giving mussar to a child, you potentially want the child to do things a certain way. How are you going to deliver that message? Now, you could deliver the message the way you want to hear it or the way you want it to come across, but that's not the right approach. The right approach is to actually put yourself in the mind of your child and say, what is the most effective way for my child to receive this? And sometimes the answer is that for your child, where he's holding, don't give the mussar at all. Sometimes, as we saw, the right thing to do is to look away. And even if it's something that bothers you yourself, but that's your own hang-up. Don't put your own hang-ups on your children. He says this requires a lot of thought, a lot of patience. Yisera, extra patience. You have to have the right balance when you're disciplining children. That you don't want to withhold. You don't want to let it be a free-for-all, but also you don't want to be super strict. And you don't want to take the easy shortcut way when you have to do something more difficult. So there's a bunch of examples of this, but basically what it means is that sometimes we don't have, or we rather, not we don't have, we don't want to take the time to properly educate our children. Let's say he gives an example here. Let's say your child is late for minyan. So your child is late for minyan, or he wakes up late every day and he misses minyan. So the proper way is to sit down and learn the Peleoids, what he talks about in Brachos. He talks about the importance of minyan. He talks about the importance of tefillah b'tzibur, and to properly educate your child and give him an appreciation of what tefillah is. The other way is to smack your child on the head and say, "Why are you late? If you're late again, you're going to be punished." Now, many of us will just opt for the easy way, which is just yell at your child, give a harsh threat, and get them in line. You want to get to the same place of having your child go to minyan, but the problem is, in the long run, the minute that the whip is taken away when your child is old enough, if they don't have that appreciation, if they haven't developed it, then they're just going to drop it, because the only reason they're going is because you have more force than them. You have something over them. And the minute you lose that, the child is going to rebel and the child's going to lose it. But if you want it to stick, then if you educate the child and they do it because of that, it takes a lot more effort, but ultimately it will have the better desired effect. So that's what he's saying. And there's so many examples of this. He says, and don't go into length on something when the best thing is to be brief. And he gives another example. He says, many times the way we educate our children is based on our own mistakes. So we look at how we wish we would have done. Let's take an example. Okay, I'm an accountant. Let's say I look back and I say, I should have been a doctor. I should have been a lawyer. So I decide now I'm going to educate my children. You guys are going to be lawyers. And I'm going to force them to be lawyers, whether it's the right thing for them, it's not the right thing for them. But I tell them, don't make the same mistake I did. Don't go into accounting, LaMarshall. So that's the wrong approach because I'm not taking into consideration what's the best thing for them. I'm simply trying to undo a mistake that I made and try to change it so that my children don't make the same mistake. I'll give you another example. Let's say you went to a certain yeshiva and you're an alum of that yeshiva. And it will give you certain pride. I want my son to go to the same yeshiva. But it's not for him. He's less yeshivish than you. He's less serious than you. And the right thing for him to do is to go to a less yeshiva. But it's embarrassing for you that your son is going to go to that yeshiva. So because of your embarrassment, you're going to push your child into a yeshiva that's not the right yeshiva for them. Or you're not such a learner, but you want your child to be a learner. So you're going to push them into a starkey yeshiva because you don't want them to turn out like you. So again, all of these approaches he's saying are inappropriate, incorrect. We shouldn't educate children based on how we want them to make us look or how we want them to make us feel. We should educate our children and guide them in life based on what is the best thing for them. And I think this is a lesson that so many parents forget. It's always about what do I want, right? When we look at shidduchim, many people look at the resume. Oh, I don't think she's pretty. Does that mean your son doesn't think she's pretty? I don't think she's a good fit based on the yichas. Does your son care about that? Is that the right thing for your son or your daughter? A lot of times we're always just taking it and how does it make us feel? And we don't want to be embarrassed and we don't want to accept a certain way. And I could go on and on about this, but the idea is that we have to put ourselves in our children's shoes and say, what, not what the best thing or what the easiest thing is for me, but rather what's the best thing for my child. Just one more sentence at the top of 258. The gam kein mitzvah sa'av ala bein lam de Torah. Father also has a chiyuv to teach his son Torah. And to get a wife for him, when he gets to the right age, as he says, we will discuss in the proper place. So, Mirtz Hashem, we will continue with this topic and probably finish it up next time on Monday.